Here is the summary of the trade finance risk mitigation tools. There are three columns. First column consists of category of the risk, tools which are to be used, recommended, and key risk mitigated is in the last column. So financial instruments which is used, under financial instrument, the tools are LC, guarantee or collection, and the risk mitigated is a credit or performance or compliance risk. Under the risk sharing, ECGC, factoring and forfeiting are the tools, and the key risk mitigated will be the credit and political and liquidity risk. Another category is regulatory safeguards, which we have seen, under which the tools, effective tools, are FEMA, AML, Basel norms and systematic, and the risk that is mitigated is a systematic compliance fraud. Legal tool will be the Incoterms and contracts, and risk mitigation will be delivery, legal, commercial, and digital tool consists of EESP, blockchain, trades, and this will cover or this will mitigate the risk like fraud, delay, and documentation. Now, role of export credit agencies, ECAs. Export credit agencies like ECGC plays a very important role in international market with reduction in risk. They serve as an institutional risk mitigator. They are binding the gap between the public policy objective and private sector needs by providing insurance, guarantee, and direct credit to exporters and their financiers. Definition and purpose. An export credit agency, we have a separate chapter for this. This we have already included into that. But just to recap, whatever we have understood is also again here it is mentioned that as an export credit agency, ECA is typically a government-backed or supported financial institution like ECGC, and it supports the nation's export and risk management under that. The core function of export credit agency is to mitigate the commercial and political risks associated with international trade. In India, ECGC Limited is operating under the aegis of Ministry of Commerce and Industry. Number two, functions of the ECA. We have already seen, I need not spend my time on this. You can very well refer to this. We have a separate chapter also on this. Then product offered by the ECA. There are various products offered. I will just recap it because we have already seen it. So product offered by ECA, that is Export Credit Agency, with ECGC as a reference. One is the export credit insurance for exporters, credit guarantee to the banks, overseas investment insurance, political risk coverage, and these instruments enable the credit access, lower financing cost, and boost the export confidence, thereby making the trade finance safer and more accessible. Another agency is ECA. Another point is the ECA's role in international policy. Export credit agencies also helps to align the national export strategy with international trade. Okay, major are the Exim Bank, USA, Euler-Hermes, SACE, COFACE, or ECGC follows the international guidelines such as OECD arrangement, officially supported export credit, and it regulates the terms and credit of the fair compliance. World Trade Organization disciplines export subsidies. ICC guidelines under UCP 600, URDG 758 on the documentary credit and the guarantees. In India, ECGC operations are subject to the supervision of the Insurance Regulatory Authority, that is IRDA, and Government of India policies. Now, role in enhancing the risk appetite of the bank. Now, ECA, Export Credit Agencies, supports the banks for enhancing their risk appetite. How? They enhance the credit rating of risky exposures. They allow banks to extend the pre and post shipment credit with reduced the capital provisioning under Basel norms. They also support the bank in financing the long tenure exports or buyers in unstable jurisdiction. Similarly, with ECGC cover, Indian banks are better positioned to support the MSME and high value capital good exports. Case in India context. In 2023, ECGC launched the export credit insurance for bank, whole turnover post shipment guarantee, which offers the simplified and wider risk coverage to the banks, lending to the exporters. This directly supported the foreign trade policy 2023-28 goal of enabling MSME to participate in the global value chain and financial confidence. Limitations and the regulatory oversight. While export credit agencies offer an extensive coverage, they are not without limitations. And their limitation is, number one, not all the commercial disputes are covered by ECA, export credit agencies. Then their coverage may exclude the high risk market also. Next one, their policies require strict compliance with the documentation and timelines. Finally, the ECGC policies are regulated by Indian law, FEMA, and IRDAI norms. Exposures are subject to sovereign and industry limit. Now, institutional ecosystem in risk management. Institutional ecosystem. These institutions, which are playing the critical role in defining the rules, offering insurance and guarantees, setting the prudential standard, and ensuring that the trade transactions are carried out with minimum disruption and acceptable levies of the risk. For that, Reserve Bank of India is one of the institutions that has come forward for the foreign exchange as a foreign exchange regulator, and RBI plays a foundational role in managing the monetary, credit and forex related risk in trade finance. Its key functions are formulation of foreign exchange policy under FEMA, regulation of the export and import credit norms for the Indian banks, monitoring export and import proceeds through EDPMS, IDPMS, guidance on prudential norms, oversight in interest rate subsidies, and risk contribution consists of to ensure the systematic risk containment, liquidity access, and foreign currency control. Now, Export Credit Guarantee Corporation is another institution which helping the credit risk or risk, particularly credit related. This is the agency which provides the insurance cover against the commercial and political risk faced by the exporter and the banks. So, key offering consists of standard and specific policies, credit guarantees to the banks, political risk cover for the overseas investment, risk contribution, which consists of absorption of the buyer's risk, political disruption, and also encourages the banks financing by reducing the lender risk exposure. Now, Exim Bank of India. This Exim Bank of India provides a financial assistance to the exporters through a lines of credit. Buyer's credit under National Export Insurance account and the project export financing. They mitigate the risk, and their function consists of offering a long-term concessional funding, support the exporters entering a very high and emerging market, provides the buyer's credit with a sovereign ECA support, and risk contribution consists of reduced funding. It reduces the funding and market entry risk for exporters. Next one will be Director General of Foreign Trade, that is DGFT. DGFT's key role consists of licensing, export authorization, advance authorization scheme, issuance of RCMC, EBRC, and IEC, that is Import Export Code. Then regulation of export incentive and the duty exemption scheme, risk contribution, which consists of, it provides the policy clarity as well as the compliance assurance and transparency, which is reducing the regulatory and procedural risk. Indian Customs and CBIC, they control the risk pertaining to the electronic filing of and processing of ICGATE and ICSE. Real-time risk-based inspection and the risk management system, that is RMS, duty drawback, SEZ, and bonded warehousing facilities are overlooked by the Indian Customs and CBIC. And the risk contribution is minimizing the cargo handling risk, minimizing the fraud risk and delays, as well as improving the logistic reliability. Indian banks and financial institutions. These banks are AD category 1 banks, and their key contribution for reduction in the risk is structuring and issuing the letter of credit and bank guarantees, facilitating the pre-shipment and post-shipment finance, risk assessment, due diligence and compliance check. Bank rely on Basel III norms for capital provisioning and often work in collaboration with the ECGC and RBI to mitigate the risk exposure. International agencies and the framework. There are various international agencies such as ICC, OECD, WTO, UNICITRAL and SWIFT. Their role in risk management is ICC formulates the rules like UCP 600, URC 522, URDC 758 to standardize the documentary trade practices. Whereas in OECD, it defines the guidelines for the export credit and ECA risk mitigation. WTO regulates the export subsidies, dispute settlement, and the fair trade practices. Whereas UNCITRAL provides the legal standard for the cross-border commerce. SWIFT's role is it offers the secure messaging and infrastructure for banking transaction. Now, credit rating agencies and credit bureaus. You are aware that the domestic and global credit agencies assesses the credit worthiness of the counterparties which are involved in the international trade. So their contribution is to assess the country sectoral and buyer specific risk, offer the data for the KYC, due diligence and limit setting. So risk contributions are helping the financial institution and exporters price select the monitoring trade partners effectively. Export promotion councils and trade bodies. Their function, export promotion councils, you are aware, like PIO, EEPC, JGEPC means Gems and Jewelry Export Promotion Councils. These are some of the agencies, export promotion councils and trade bodies also. Right? Then their function is to represent the exporters' interest and facilitate the global outreach, provide the market intelligence and capacity building, and risk contribution consists of support compliance, export readiness, and diversification of market risk. Now, risk management life cycle in the trade transaction. Risk management life cycle in trade transaction. Each stage of the trade transaction, from the transaction initiation to the post-settlement monitoring, presents the distinct risk and requires tailored risk mitigation strategy. A structured life cycle approach, which allows the bank, exporters, importers, and financiers to identify and assess, as well as to monitor and control the risk in dynamic international trade environment. The cycle is like that: pre-transaction risk assessment, which will be followed by the contract and documentation risk. Next one will be the risk mitigation, that is instrument, by giving the instrument like ELC, insurance and guaranteed. The transaction execution and the real-time monitoring, which will be followed by the post-transaction surveillance, and finally reviews and the risk learning, reviews and risk learning feedback in loop. So this is the cycle where you can understand how the risk is getting monitored at a different stage of life cycle of the trade transaction. Pre-transaction risk assessment, that is explained here. Here, the activities under the pre-transaction risk assessment consist of due diligence on the buyer and supplier via KYC norms and the credit check. And next one will be country risk assessment, which is a geopolitical and economic risk. The product and compliance risk is checked here. Creditworthiness analysis is using the rating reports of ECGC valuation. Tools which are used for this is internal risk scoring model, credit bureau, and international database like Dun & Bradstreet, and consulting with the export credit agencies. Contracts and documentation risk control, how it is to be measured. The activity under the contract and documentation risk consists of selection of Incoterm 2020 and payment terms, as well as incorporation of the dispute resolution clauses like arbitration or litigation. It ensures the legal enforceability across the jurisdiction. Alignment of the commercial contract with the letter of credit and guarantee term. Risk mitigated through this will be the contractual ambiguity is eliminated. Disputes on delivery as well as the risk transfer and payment obligations are getting resorted at the initial stage itself. Third one is the risk mitigation through trade instrument. Now, trade instruments can also mitigate the risk. At this stage, the specific instruments are deployed to transfer, absorb, and reduce the risk. Now, key instruments are letter of credit. It mitigates the payment risk. Then bank guarantee. It mitigates the covered performance and financial obligation. Then ECI, that is export credit insurance. This protects against the buyer's default or political risk. Then forward contract. This also mitigates the risk by way of hedging the foreign exchange exposure. And mitigation of the risk is a credit risk or default risk, currency risk or non-performance risk also. The transaction execution and monitoring risk. Once the shipment is done and financial instruments are activated, the real-time monitoring becomes critical to detect the anomalies or delays. The key control consists of tracking of the shipment in logistics, which is a bill of lading and airway bill, monitoring of document discrepancies under letter of credit, EDPMS and IDPMS checks for the export-import data reporting, timely invoicing, insurance verification, and remittance matching is also important here. Technology tools used is SWIFT, blockchain-based supply chain, and the bank compliance and the trade monitoring platforms. Fifth one is post-transaction risk surveillance. Now, after post-transaction, even after transaction is settled, there is a risk such as delayed remittances, non-repatriation or regulatory scrutiny that may arise. That also there will be the risk. So the key focus area under the post-transaction risk surveillance will be timely receipt of the export proceeds, audit and documentation and the forex compliance as per the FEMA regulation, and claim intimation with ECGC or banks in case of default. Reconciliation with the bank record and the customs filing. Regulatory reference consists of RBI reporting, then FEMA provisioning, and Basel III guidelines. Risk review and feedback loop. Risk reviews and feedback. That is the final stage. In this final stage, it involves learning from the completed transaction to fine-tune the future risk strategy. And its activities consist of periodic follow-up review of the country, buyer, and bank exposure. Then stress testing for the macroeconomic shocks, updating the internal risk limits and approval matrix, as well as the institutional feedback also takes the will be taken into consideration, such as inputs from RBI inspection or audit reports. Review meeting with the ECGC or trade advisors are solicited. Now, modern challenges in the risk management. Latest challenges in the risk management. Now, to remain resilient and relevant, and the stakeholders in the trade finance, including the banks and the exports or insurance or regulators, must adapt to these modern challenges. These challenges are, number one, is a geopolitical instability in trade wars. Geopolitical instability. Tariff imposition, economic sanction, regional conflicts like Ukraine and Russia, Israel and Gaza, as well as US-China tension, and it is impacting the supply chain, currency stability, and buyer solvency. So this is increasingly become the tool of political leverage. Its impact will be sudden cancellation of the trade deal, or there may be delay in shipment, or detention at the customs, or there will be increase in the political risk premium for certain markets. Its implication could be for the risk management is export credit agencies and the banks are forced to continuously recalibrate the country risk model and review the geopolitical exposure. Second one is sanctions and the compliance complexity. The rise in unilateral and multilateral sanctions, especially from US OFAC, European Union, and UN, demands the strict due diligence from the all the parties. The challenges under the sanctions and compliance complexity consist of real-time compliance tracking of the counterparties, risk of secondary sanctions for third-party involvement, over-compliance leading to the missed business opportunities, and mitigation is required, mitigation tool is required for the deployment of the sanction screening software by way of deployment of sanction screening software, artificial intelligence-based compliance engine, and real-time transaction monitoring. Now, cybersecurity and digital fraud risk. With the increasing in the digitalization or blockchain, electronic trade documents, SWIFT messaging, and the trade finance ecosystem is vulnerable to the cyber attack and the fraud. Example of this threat is forged ELC or bills of lading, malware used or ransomware targeting the trade transaction database, identity spoofing in cross-border payment, that is spoofing of identity in the cross-border payment. Response mechanism is adoption of ISO 20022 and messaging standard, blockchain-based document verification system, cyber insurance, and the IT security audit. Climate and ECG linked risk. This risk is emerging risk due to trade disruption or climate events like flood or cyclones, right? Then supply chain security for the child labor and the carbon emission. Then restriction on financing the non-green exports import. Its impact will be banks and export credit agencies are now integrating the environmental, social, and governance risk, the scoring into their credit decision. Therefore, ESG is non-compliance may result in reduced trade credit for withdrawal or withdrawal of support also. Now, currency volatility. Currency volatility and inflation. Under this, there will be a risk of devaluation. And this devaluation risk affecting the importer's repayment capacity. Hedging cost, it is rising due to the volatility of the exchange rate currency. Then payment delay due to the FX shortage in some countries. Their solution will be the dynamic hedging strategy should be adopted, currency options should be used, and greater use of INR trade settlement as promoted in RBI since 2022. Then regulatory overload. Regulatory overload and fragmentation consist of challenges like conflicting and evolving the compliance timelines, then burden of documentation and e-filing system like EDPMS and IDPMS, exporters with limited resources struggles with the compliance upkeep, and there will be need for our to harmonize the policy, central trade portal and single window clearance for MSME. Digitalization gap in MSME in emerging market. While digitalization trade solutions are growing, as a significant portion of Indian MSME exporters lack the digital literacy or infrastructure, making them vulnerable. The risk is covered under this is the risk identified is inability to use ELC, e-invoicing or blockchain system. Okay, due to digitalization. Then delay in document submission and compliance filing. Risk of being excluded from the fintech-led trade finance platform. However, there will be a solution, that is capacity building program, subsidy linked digitalization scheme and training via EPC and banks. Next one will be the supply chain concentration risk. This risk is a manifestation. What happens under this? The factory shutdown abroad affecting the Indian exporters, price shocks due to the sudden demand and supply imbalance, and risk of force majeure invocation by supplier or buyer. Therefore, under the supply chain concentration risk, the best practice is encouraging the supply chain diversification and localization of the policies like Make in India and PLI schemes. Now, best practices for the risk mitigation. What are the best practices for the risk mitigation? The integration of the best practices across the operational, financial, legal and technological dimension, which enables the exporters, importers, banks and financial institutions to conduct an international trade with the confidence in control. Some of the best practices which represents are as under. Number one, comprehensive due diligence and KYC AML control. This is the best practice ever. And under this, they can conduct KYC, know your customers, know your suppliers, then know your client also. Screen all the parties against the global sanctions and watchlist the OFAC, UN, UE. Implement anti-money laundering policies and transaction monitoring tools. Leverage third-party platform like SWIFT, WorldCheck, etc. for real-time verification. Benefit of this comprehensive due diligence and the KYC AML will consist of, it will be minimizing the counterparty and compliance risk before a trade deal is even signed. Number two, use of structured trade finance instrument can be reduced the risk. Now, structured trade finance consists of adoption of the letter of credit, bank guarantee, standby letter of credit, and factoring and transfer of the mitigation of the risk. To customize the instrument terms to align with the Incoterm 2020, shipment stage and regulatory timelines. Prefer the confirmed letter of credit for higher risk countries and the buyers. Its benefit will be transfers credit and performance risk to reputable bank and the institution. Number three, adherence to the international trade rules and standards. International trade rules consist of UCP 600 for INCs, URDG 758 for demand guarantees, URC 522 for collections, and ensure the documentation aligns with the Incoterms 2020 and international sale of goods contract. Its benefit will be it reduces the ambiguity and improves the dispute resolution clarity. Now, strong documentation and record keeping. This is also another way how you can reduce the risk. You can ensure the contractual consistency between the sales agreement, sales invoice, sale LC invoice, transport documentation, and customer filing, customs filing. You can maintain the checklist based on the control of all the pre-shipment and post-shipment document. Archive the record digitally as per the FEMA and RBI reporting. Benefit of doing all these things will be it prevents the documentation discrepancies and delays in realization of export proceeds. Fifth one will be the hedging and foreign exchange risk management. Use forward contract option or currency swaps to hedge against the exchange rate fluctuation. Monitor RBI circulars on trade-related FX exposure and align the currency invoicing with allowed modes under INR trade settlement as per RBI guidelines. The benefit will accrue will be the protect the profit margin and prevents the remittance shortfall due to the volatility. The effective use of the credit insurance and ECA support. Effective use. Okay. So secure cover from the Export Credit Guarantee. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation, that is ECGC. Use whole turnover policies for large exporters and specific shipment cover for SMEs. Engage the ECA for the Export Credit Agency for buyer's credit, supplier's credit, and overseas investment insurance. By doing so, there will be a benefit of transfer. Benefit that transfers the default risk and provides a comfort to banks extending the post-shipment finance. The real-time monitoring and the risk alerts consist of use of trade finance platform, ERP system to track the shipment payment and regulatory filings. Set alert for the delay in documentation, mismatches, overdue bills by using the EDPMS or IDPMS system. Use the data analytics for early warning signal on buyer's risk, country risk, or sectoral disruption. The benefit of real-time monitoring and the risk alerts will consist of it enables the proactive intervention and reduces the NPA in trade credit portfolio. Next one will be the collaboration with the regulatory and institutional ecosystem. Collaboration with regulatory and institutional ecosystem. For that, engage with RBI, DGFT, Customs, Chamber of Commerce, and for the regular compliance and capacity building. You can use the platforms such as ICEGATE, DGFT portal, SWIFT, EBRC system to stay updated. Then, regularly consult the legal and trade advisors on the FEMA updates and cross-border taxation. The benefit accrued will be ensures the compliance, eligibility for export incentive, and legal risk minimization. MSME-specific risk mitigation practices. MSME-specific risk mitigation practices covers leverage factoring, invoice discounting, and trades platform for liquidity. Second one is a participate in the government-supported scheme, which will be the interest equalization scheme, ECGC SME scheme, or engage in the capacity building through the EPC, Exim Bank, and SIDBI. The benefit of MSME-specific risk mitigation practices will be it tailors the risk protection mechanism for smaller exporters with limited resources. Now, the regular risk review and policy update is mandatory for all those who are involved in the trade. Therefore, conduct a periodic internal audit, risk reviews, and scenario testing. Update trade finance policies based on the Basel III, RBI inspection report, and the global development and sanctions, as well as the conflict and ESGs. Document the learning from the past disputes, defaults, or compliance breaches. Its benefit will be to maintain the institutional agility and responsiveness to emerging the trade risk. Friends, with this, we complete our discussion on the risk management in trade finance. Hope you understood the several types of risk under the trade finance, which are enumerated in this topic. Thank you very much.